Howdy everyone and welcome to Risky Business 2. I'm Patrick Gray. Risky Business 2 is hosted by Vigabyte Virtual Hosting and sponsored by Symantec, makers of security software and fine tailored yellow suits, as we all know from seeing their advertisements. Now, if you're an avid Risky Business 2 listener, you would have already heard the ShakaCon presentation by Andre Barisani and Daniele Bianco, whose names I'm sure I am regularly mangling with my terribly unsophisticated pronunciation. Well, their presentation was on sniffing keystrokes through power lines. We have podcasted that one. Or alternatively, sniffing keystrokes using frickin' lasers attached to their frickin' heads to detect the sound the keystrokes make and then work out what was being typed. Hackers with frickin' lasers, man. It's just too cool. Well, Risky Business 2 correspondent, RB2 correspondent Paul Craig, was in Hawaii for ShakaCon and scored this exclusive interview with the pair. Although it should be said that Andre is the guy who speaks most here. Daniele just basically hangs back for the interview. But here it is, Paul Craig speaking to hackers with frickin' lasers in Hawaii.
I wonder if you could just briefly explain what your attack is.
So we basically do two kind of attacks against keyboards. The first one, we detect the keystrokes on the power line. So basically, we can attach ourselves to a power socket within the building where our target is, or even on a different floor, and we try to detect keystrokes directly from the power line because there's some leakage going on from the desktop PC that has the keyboard directly to the power grid.
Right, so this is on PS2 keyboards?
On PS2 keyboards, yes. They have a very specific frequency, and the what happens is that the data wire is so close to the ground wire that there is some interference between the two, and so the data leaks to the actual ground wire of your power cable and goes into the building power grid. And so we're able to filter the signal out and detect the keystrokes.
Very, very, very cool. So, I mean, the first thing that goes through my mind is what else uses a PS2 keyboard where you could apply this in a real-world attack situation?
Well, at least in Europe, we know for sure that lots of ATM machines, they use PS2 keypads.
That's not good.
Yeah, it is not good. Because you can just use this kind of attack on a nearby shop. It's very likely that the electrical grid is going to be the same, you know, from where the ATM is located and the shop which is nearby. So
how close do you have to be in order to perform this Tempest attack?
So with our equipment, which isn't very, you know, we didn't spend too much money on it.
And how much did you spend on your equipment?
So the equipment is like $30. So the only thing that costs a lot is the oscilloscope, which I think ours is like $2,000. But right now we're working on using an embedded microcontroller for doing continuous sniffing with $150, so eventually it won't be. It would be very cheap. And the range we can get is up to, with our equipment, 20, 30 meters of wire going on. Mm-hmm. So if you're staying in a room, the target is there, you can go in a nearby room and actually detect the signal from there.
Now, how effective is this attack? Like, what reliability would you have? Let's say you were plugged in next to me and I was typing an email to my wife or something. How much of the text could you actually pick up?
So we tried this on the worst case scenario because it was a physics laboratory and noise was extremely noisy. On a normal scenario, like an office or a building, we're pretty close to have a very, very good reliability. Because the thing is, we don't have to guess. We actually see the real signal. So it's not some matching that we need to do. Whatever you type, we're going to see on our power line.
Right. Okay, so I guess the first question I have for you is, have you been approached by, let's say, by the NSA or any government organizations, people saying like, oh, excuse me, so why are you doing this?
Well, no government agencies so far, but I bet they know about this because Tempest attacks have been around for some time, and there have been some people suggesting that there might be some leakage on the ground. It's actually that no one ever showed in public or did a research about what you can actually do in practice. So we think they might know. I don't know. We've been approached by some customers because we have a company which does security consulting, and we had some requests about testing on POS point of sales and ATM machines and so on.
Okay, so I mean, usually if I had seen this sort of Tempest attack in the talk, I would have been really satisfied. I would have been super, super happy. But these guys just didn't give one Tempest attack. They actually came in with two very distinct, different attacks. I wonder if you could explain what the second attack involves.
Right. Well, the second one, so the thing is that this research doesn't work with laptops. So we said, let's do something with laptops. And we know the concept of a laser microphone, which is a microphone that uses a laser beam against the window, and with that microphone catching the reflection back, you can listen to what is being said in that room. And we said, why not pointing a laser microphone on the laptop itself? So what we do, we point a laser beam to, you know, pretty much any reflective point on the laptop, and we catch reflection back, and by sampling the vibration, we can have some data about the key presses that you're actually making.
So you can sit from a distance away from me while I'm using my laptop, say like my laptop on a table.
Yes.
And you can measure the vibrations coming off my keyboard and can you distinguish which keys?
Yes, we can tell if one key is different from the other, and we can tell if you're pressing the same key twice. So what we do, we sample some data, and we do some dictionary, statistical dictionary analysis on the actual content of what we get. So we can always tell the space bar out, so we know what the words are.
Is that because the space bar is much bigger than the other?
Yes, it is bigger. It has a completely different vibration pattern. So suppose that we know that you're typing in English and we see a three-letter word, we know that it's either a T, a H, and an E, or A-R-E. And then we can use that information for actually trying to match all the other different words. And even with just a few words, it's very, very effective, specifically if you know the context of, the data that has been written.
Right. Man, that's actually quite scary. Well, what would you recommend to someone who was, let's say, very paranoid and was worried about you sneaking up to them with your laser microphone and recording what they're saying? What would you recommend they actually do to protect themselves?
Well, look out for small red dots on your laptop. But, if you use an infrared laser, then you need infrared goggles for that. So what I recommend, just use a laptop on your legs.
Now, I had one question for you. So you said that the red laser will go, 30 to 50 meters?
Well, a very cheap one will go, to 30 meters.
What about a green laser or a blue laser?
The wavelength doesn't really matter.
Would it work if it was much further? Because, the green laser can potentially go a very long way.
Yes. So the more money you throw at the laser beam, the better the range. But there's that's the only limit. So if you buy a very expensive laser and you use a focusing lens, it will work.
Right.
It can work up to 100 meters, 200 meters. You just need more quality in the laser. But the concept stays the same.
Now, what happens if I had, let's say, silicon grommets under my keyboard? Would that help? Like an anti-vibration mat? What about if I typed on my lap?
So the thing is that the vibration goes from your keyboard to the laptop lid. So you would need from really... I don't know. I don't think that would help. But having the laptop on your lap, that would help a lot. Because the laptop moves, obviously, while you're typing, because you're not as firm as a table. So that would be... Yeah, we wouldn't be able to do anything with that.
Okay, all right. I had one other idea. I was racking my brain in your presentation as to how I could evade or get around this trick. And I was thinking, maybe if I typed something and then backspaced, and then typed again and then backspaced, and then each letter... I guess that's...
Well... Yeah, that would probably make things more difficult, I guess. But if we see that key being typed repeatedly, then maybe we can guess it is a backspace or not.
Right.
But yeah, it would make things difficult. But that doesn't look like a very productive way of typing.
Working or doing it. So I think the really big question here is why? Why would you guys do this? What's your incentive?
Well, we love hardware. We play with software every day because of our work, and we find that hardware is very rewarding, playing with it and doing security with hardware, because you can feel, you can touch, and you can assemble something, and it's a very nice feeling, and you can go beyond the boundaries of your operating system and so on. And when you can mix the two, like doing some software analysis and then use some hardware, I think for us it's very rewarding. I think it's in the best tradition of hacking, playing with hardware, because that's how hacking started. And I think we would like to see more people getting back into hardware and not just doing software, because we think it's very fascinating.
Okay, so if any of our listeners are out there and they want to come see this presentation, are you guys off to any more conferences later this year?
Yes, we'll be at Black Hat and DEF CON, and with an updated version of our talk. And also we will go at Hack in the Box in Malaysia, where we will have a hands-on training lab where people can actually build the devices we're showing, and we can teach people on how to make this thing and get familiar with electronics and so on.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for having me chat to me, guys. I wish you the best of luck in the future.
Oh, thank you for this podcast.